Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I wasn't always like this, but sometimes it happens. I just forget everything and I just do stuff.
Vinil Dariush! Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. It's myself. Jimmy Bird is out spreading his little wings, spreading his laughter to the masses with his stand-up comedy. I still don't know where the fuck he is. But we got the great Brett Okamoto with me as co-host. Brett, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. I've been on the show a few times, but never as a host. So I don't know if that'll be any different or if it'd be the same.
I'm telling you right now, you don't know what the fuck you're in for right now. We're going to have such a good time. It's all about chemistry, Brett. When I look the other day, we had Dean Thomas on. Mm-hmm. Me and Dean Thomas, I see as just a couple. We could be in like a buddy cop movie with all banter. Yeah. You got Phoenix on. We geek out sometimes about nerd shit. Jamie English used to train with me. He's got that old English vibe, a proper vibe. Me and you, Brett, we're such, oh my goodness, you couldn't be more different. Look at, even today, look at us, the contrast. With our shirts, yes. All right? With our fucking heads. Look at you with your beautiful hair.
You're going with like a villain in a layer type look.
I don't know. This is one of those things. I look at us like, if they did like a reboot of you ever hear that old show called The Odd Couple?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine me and you in a show like rooming together.
I think it'd be hilarious.
I'd be a fucking mess. I could see, dude, you're at home, be honest. Mm-hmm. I get not just what's behind you, because I know that's your work area. Mm-hmm. You're a messy guy. How's your sink?
When I was a kid, I was super messy. Now I'm like, I'm pretty OCD, man. I mean, I can show you my office. Like it's pretty spotless, dude. Like so much to the point where I start to line up my pens so that they're in like, you know, very, very neat. It's what I work best in, you know? So I don't know if my wife would agree with me, but yeah, I feel like I'm pretty good.
You and your wife, do you have like double sinks? Do you have your sink and she has her sink?
Yeah.
Now, when it comes time to clean the bathroom, every how many days, whatever it is.
Yeah.
How are your sinks looking? Is yours almost as pristine as hers?
Yeah.
Or does she look at it? It is, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Except, you know, I shave, you know, and then like it's the hair that's a problem on my side of the sink, you know, little shavings and, you know, my eyebrows get out of whack sometimes. Right. I got to trim them up a little bit. And so I got the hair around the sink. That's about it.
I would say it's the hair for me because I have to shave my head too. So it's almost like extra. Mm-hmm. But it's also the fucking toothpaste.
No, dude.
Soap scum.
No.
Brett, my plug. My wife, oh my God, she's a saint. Thank God for her. I'm a fucking.
Do you have your own toothpaste bottle, or do you and your wife share one?
We have the same one.
You have the same one.
We
do you guys push from the bottom?
Yes, I usually do. I'm okay with that.
My wife, as clean as she is, pushes from the middle, and so there's all this crust and nasty stuff around the top of the. I hate that, man. And it is so easy to avoid. It is so easy to just push from the bottom. When you say the toothpaste thing, no, the toothpaste is actually a problem on her side, man. She's got toothpaste all over her freaking counter, not me.
You know what I noticed that is very uninteresting, but I'll just say it anyway since we're talking about
Sure.
No, everybody already doing that. They're phoning this. No.
That's what you want to hear on a podcast. You know what is super boring, but I'm going to go into it at length.
You don't need that much toothpaste. I always put too much on, so I start brushing, half of it falls out my fucking mouth. Anyway, listen, welcome to UFC. just to play it safe, pretend like we just started now. Brett, we got fights this weekend. How come you're not in Singapore? You don't like that long flight?
No. I would actually be there, but me and my wife just got back 2 days ago from a 13-day trip to Portugal. It's like one of our first vacations together in years. Because we had the kid, like COVID and everything, obviously, you know. So we did like 2 weeks in Portugal, just me and her, kind of bumming around the entire country. So I would have gone, but I just got back, and I literally would have had to come out of the plane and get on a plane and fly to Singapore.
How was Portugal, man? And did you do like sightseeing there, or was it just?
I did a lot. So I did. It was kind of like five vacations mixed in one. I did like an island where we did hikes around a lake.
Okay.
And then I did wine tasting. And then Lisbon is kind of like New York of Portugal. Like it's a bigger city, a lot of different stuff to look at. And then we kind of drove off and saw some medieval castles kind of closer to Spain. And then if you go to the south coast, it's kind of like their version of Mexico for us. And that's where all of like the beach resorts are. So then we just chilled and hung out for a little bit.
The wine tasting.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. They got that here in Long Island. I want to taste wine. I go to Ciro's Garage. He's got the homemade shit right there. I'll taste some
Ciro's.
Wine. Oh, that's my father-in-law. Oh, yeah.
Ciro's Garage is where you go for the wine tasting.
All I do is when I drink his grappa to digest. Mm-hmm. I drink his homemade wine, him or Uncle Tony's, because I know what I'm getting. It's 100% pure. Like there's no preservatives, whatever. I see the way they make it. And I never get nauseous. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, I went to, speaking of nauseous, I was just in Vegas. I did there was a little like, show they were doing. It was something with the Ultimate Fighters that won the Ultimate Fighter, coached the Ultimate Fighter, and won the title. So it was me, Bisping, and Forrest Juliana, and Rashad.
Yeah.
Speaking of red wine, holy shit, man. I don't know if you know this, but Michael Bisping could put him down a little bit. Did you ever know that about? Have you ever heard a rumor about that?
I might have known that, yeah.
I'll tell you, Brett, I'm used to Ciro stuff. So not only did I get lit during this whole shoot, me and Michael were the only ones drinking. But unfortunately for my wife and I made it to the toilet with some of the vomit. But also she's like, in the shower. I go, well, look, at least it's in the shower. Yeah. When you lose your shit, when you're vomiting. Isn't it better to do that in the shower?
I mean, I would say the toilet's the best place to do it. But
it is the best place.
Yeah.
It is. But the second best place?
it's better than the carpet. It's better than my car. I mean, I've had my wife throw up in my car like three different times. One of them was the first day I bought it, dude. And I know that she's a puker. And I went and picked her up on the strip and I was driving her back. And I was like, I can tell you're going to throw up. I'll pull over right here. You can throw up in the parking lot, you know? So not only did she not do that, Matt, where she decided to puke, I rolled the window down for her then. And she threw up into like the window cavity. You know how like the window, if the window's down, that like some of the puke could actually go into the physical door itself?
That's how you know when you're truly in love with somebody and you really feel for them beyond just how pretty they are or anything. Like picture it like this. Whenever you're dating somebody and you're not really into them, the smallest thing they do or did or it could turn you totally off.
Yeah.
But then when you're totally in love with somebody, my wife, I would clean up her vomit. I'd hold her hair if I had to.
Yeah.
She doesn't do that. I mean, but if she did, not that you're not anybody could, but if they did, I don't know.
In my wife's defense, this was like 10 years ago and we were living in Vegas. She was like 25, you know, 24. So she gets a pass on that.
I meant my wife wouldn't do that like every week. She's not like a lush, but I'm trying to say is that when you love for somebody, you know, you do some things, you know?
You know what? One other thing I'll say about this conversation is that you mentioned that maybe on occasion, Bisping has been known to have an alcoholic beverage. I will tell you right now, and I won't go into the story, and I don't think Mike would have a problem with me sharing this. And like you said, no one's watching the show anyway. The only time I have missed a flight in my life was Michael Bisping's fault. And now to this day, when I'm at a bar and if I'm in the mood to do it, I'll call it the Bisping. And what the Bisping is you order a shot and a beer. And that's like one round, right? So you take the shot, you drink the beer. And then you continue to have Bispings as the night goes on. And that the night that he taught me that is the night that I resulted in me missing my flight the next day.
That explains a lot. A Bisping. Oh, that's going to catch on for sure.
That's what I call it now. I call it a Bisping. When I decide like I want a shot, I usually get like a shot of Jameson.
Oh.
A beer.
100%. That might be just totally normal wherever he's from. Fucking.
It was his thing. He's like, yeah, man, this is what I do. And I was like, all right, I'll do it with you. And neither of us made our flight the next morning, actually.
Hey, man, I'll tell you right now, that guy, what an inspiration he is. And, you know, I've been talking to him recently because I don't know if I told you this or if you're aware, but I have to get both my knees done, but I'm getting a knee replacement on the 28th of this month, bro.
Oh, man.
I know. I've been really, like, it's something I've been putting off for a while. But because I can still do jujitsu, you know, and I can fake it when I walk like to the octagon for the corner of somebody or here and there. But I'll tell you, Brett, I've been a mess lately with my knees. All I can do is jujitsu. That's all I can fucking do. I can't. The running's out of the question. Walking, not far distances. A far distance, I start. I know what I don't like. I don't like looking feeble because I know I'm not. I'll rip a fucking arm off. So I still feel good rolling. But walking. When your knees are that bad, like mine are, like totally bone on bone, you look like a fucking, like an old man. Bisping was walking like this. I remember being with him in Abu Dhabi when he was still allowed there. And I'm only kidding. Speaking of drinking, but I was with him in Abu Dhabi and he was walking horrible. And that's when he had one knee done and the other one had to get done. Now I look on his fucking Instagram. He's like, oh, I'm in Singapore. I just went for a run. I'm watching.
He's running again, man. Yeah, he really is all the time.
He's doing everything. So that really, it really motivated me. Like, it gives me a lot of hope to be able to do what I want to do.
You know? You got to do both of them?
I got to do both, man. I know.
You'll do them back to back, right?
They say that like between like around 3 months between them. You know,
so you start rehabbing the first one and then
100%. I like that better. I don't want to be totally, not able to do anything.
Well, that's good, man. Yeah, it sucks. I'm sure it's going to suck, but I bet you'll be glad when it's over. I bet you'll be glad you did it when it's over.
Hell yeah. So listen, we got, I'll be Kimura Savage turning into Kimura Cyborg, but as long as I'm able to fucking roll. That's my thing. Oh, look at this. Is this a good sign or not? Look who's calling me. Do you see that? What does that say? Yes.
Yeah.
But man, I normally don't do this. It's very unprofessional. Hey, Longo, I'm talking to Brett Okamoto. Do you want to say hi really quick? Hey, Brett.
Hey. All right.
This is very unprofessional. He's not used to this. I'm actually on the podcast. I'll call you later. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, the whole audience wants to know about that, but I'm going to be down there tonight from 5:30 on. Okay, thank you, Ray Longo. Talk to you later, buddy. No, he'll keep talking. He'll keep talking.
All right, Longo doesn't care. You're like, yeah, I'm actually on the podcast right now. It's a live show. And he'll be like, oh, great. And he just kept talking. He just kept telling me what he
said. I go, I'm on the podcast. He goes, oh, hey, listen, I'm sending a guy down to your school tonight. He's bringing a kid. I go, hey, dude, did I? It's great.
Hey, could have texted me that, Ray.
Definitely have texted it. So, hey, man, listen, this weekend, let me look at the card. Let's look at the card, Brett.
Okay, let's look at the card.
Now, where has Johanna Jojacek been? Where has she been? Huh? You talked to her recently?
Yeah, I have talked to her. She's been enjoying life, man. I think she reached that point in her career where, like, so let me bring up her record so I don't misspeak.
I like that I start right in the middle of the card.
wherever you want to go, man. Well, you know what, though? In your defense, the reason why you started there is I think Joanna is pretty much the most interesting person on the card because of what you just said. Where's she been? I mean, where was she? And like, she comes back, how is she going to look 2 years later, you know, in a tough fight? I mean, motivation at the end of someone's career when they've been off 2 years. And she lost her last four title fights, right? I mean, Rose, Valentina, Whaley.
It is some that were razor thin, though. They really.
Oh, certainly. They were all close, but.
It's always a strange thing when you're like, yeah, but she lost the last four. It's like, but did she? I mean, her fight, I think her second fight with Rose, which was really close.
Very close. Yeah. And Whaley was split. So a lot of people thought that she beat Whaley.
I think, yeah, it's a very close fight. I think after that fight, it's not just because of how her head looked, like ballooned up.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know, that's part of it, but it might not be a bad thing for her to take a break after something like that. Don't you think?
I totally agree, but I also think it's a fair question to say, okay, you took 2 years off, you're making money outside of the cage. Like, what are you going to look like when you come back? I'll say one thing I'll say two things, actually. I talked to Mike Brown, like had a really good conversation with him about it. And he said his biggest concern was, how big is she going to be when she comes back? You know, that are we going to have to lose all of this weight before we can really even get into camp? And he said that he was like blown away by how good of shape she was in. Now, she wasn't like sparring. Like, there's a difference, you know, in like the mindset of keep being in good shape and then also being in a fight camp. But I guess she showed up like really lean, good. And, you know, it's a tough weight cut for her. So that was pretty key that she already came into camp in shape. And then, dude, Rose losing the title was just a huge mental lift for her, because if Rose keeps that title, man, I don't think that they're going to have Joanna face Rose again in the next fight. I just don't think they will. And so like when she sees, hey, there's a new champion, it's Carla Esparza. If I beat Weili Zhang, I'm going to get a number one contender fight. Like, it was just this big mental lift in the middle of camp.
That's very interesting. That matchup between Joanna versus the champ, Carla Esparza. That'd be very interesting, because, you know, Joanna's hard to keep down. She's really hard to keep down, and she's got those elbows that can cut you from anywhere.
Hard to take down.
I mean, you know, you've seen her fight, you know, girls that are really good at grappling, and just either her takedown defense is great, and her getting back to her feet is phenomenal. So it's like, I mean, she might look at that like, look, I get past this, that title shot's right. You know, it's within Remke Reyes.
Dana already said it is. Dana said that's the title fight. And she's already, dude, she whooped Carla Esparza. She beat her for the championship. They fought and she beat her.
Oh, shit, Dad, what am I thinking?
Whooped her, dude. Really, really beat her up. So I think she, like, that's what I say, a mental lift. She's like, if I just got to beat Weili Zhang, and I am very confident I can take out the champion, because I've done it in less than 9 minutes the first time.
Let me ask you, Brett, because you're a guy that does his homework. You know, Valentina Shevchenko has just been looking unstoppable. I mean, she's such a complete fighter. It's not, and it's never one of those things you're like, well, do you think she's going to lose her hunger or her focus? You know, she's just as disciplined as they come. You, when her favorite hobby is going to the fucking range and she, like, you know what I mean? She's just such a badass that this is just the way she lives.
Yeah.
Who, for her opponent, for everybody listening, they might not be familiar with Santos. They might not know who Talia is. Mm-hmm. But what could you tell us about her?
I mean, the biggest thing I would say, at least me speaking personally, that makes this interesting. And let's be frank, Matt. I mean, Valentina has created this situation where we're looking for ways in which, like, is this fight going to be interesting? You know, because she has been so dominant. And it's before what you said. This is all she likes to do, dude. Like you can, like, when certain champions have won a lot, certain guys, you're like, well, they're going to have an off night at some point just because their mind's going to wander. They're going to slack off in the gym. You know, you could say that about almost every champion. Or at least I would say the majority of champions, where at some point, man, you're going to get them on an off night. But Valentina just does not have off nights, because she lives this. She breathes it more so than probably any fighter I've ever covered. Talia Santos can finish girls, though. You know, like, you pull up her record and you look at one point, and yes, this was earlier in her career, but you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 first round finishes in a row from Talia Santos. And she's coming off of a first round finish against Joanne Wood. She's got power. She's long. I just, asking any of these ladies to beat Valentina Shevchenko for 3 out of 5 rounds and take a decision, I just don't see it happening, man. So you got to have someone who is capable of a finish. And, you know, no disrespect to any of the women that Valentina has faced recently, but I think Talia Santos is a better finisher than Lauren Murphy, you know. Probably not Jessica Andrade, but maybe in sort of the same vein. I think she's a better finisher than Jennifer Maia, Caitlin Chookagian, Liz Carmouche, like Jessica I. Those are all girls who tend to go the distance, right? Like, at least Talia Santos can bring an element of danger, and I think you kind of need that if you're going to beat somebody like Valentina.
Well, she knows how to win, obviously. I want to see how hard she comes out in that first round, knowing she has five rounds to go.
Yeah, which she doesn't have a whole lot of experience in. But yeah, first round is going to be interesting in that fight for sure.
Speaking of finishes and putting people away, Jiří Procházka, I mean, he knows how – I mean, he has a ridiculous amount of knockouts. Yeah, 25 out of Yuri's 28 pro wins have come by knockout.
Yeah, that's wild.
My question is, who has he fought that has the jiu-jitsu and the wrestling, the grappling like Glover? Let's look at his UFC fights.
He's only had two UFC fights.
Is he only had two? No. It was Volkan, right?
Volkan Uzdemir, who does not wrestle.
And Dominic. So that's the only two fights he had?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
I thought I seen him more than that. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there goes the question right there. I mean, neither one of those guys are looking to grapple him. You know, I mean, Glover, what he has is a solid skill set of solid boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And heavy hands, and he uses it to set up basic but powerful wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, for him to lift up the legendary Polish power, Blachowicz, with that single leg, it looks like, is he going to run the pipe? I'm like, what is he, Quentin Jackson? He's lifting him up over his head. He commits. He knows how to use his tools, and he's dealt with very, very powerful strikers before. He's dealt with it all.
Mm-hmm.
But this dude does come at you from the shots that you don't expect. Like when you looked at Dominic getting hit,
yeah,
you see how Jiří set him up with the elbow showing his back to say, come get me. I mean, it was beautiful. But yeah. I mean, but Glover, I don't think he's going to take a lot of those baits. You know what I mean? I mean, easiest.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at the betting lines on this fight, and you know, have you seen them?
I think is he a 2-for-1? A 2-1?
Bro, Jiří is like minus one. I don't want to misspeak either, but I think it's like minus 160 or something. I mean, that's not like huge, but it's significant. I mean, that's Vegas saying that Jiří should win this fight. It's minus 200. Yeah, it is up to minus 200 now. I'm with you, dude. Like, I actually see a pretty clear path to victory for Glover, man. And just take this guy down. I mean, he took down Anthony Smith and knocked his teeth out. He took down Thiago Santos and made him quit. He just took down Jan Blachowicz and choked him out. Like, why can't he do that to Jiří Procházka, man? But it's what you said, Jiří, and like his whole vibe goes with this, with the hair, you know, and he's like bouncing around. He's all over the place. And then he just hits you with something that you said you don't see coming. So I either see this as like Glover actually kind of controlling and dominating the fight, or Jiří knocking him out with something crazy.
Put Cuta Laba on that list. I was there live for that shit. Yeah. That he went right across the Glover and he did the fucking off with your head thing. And I was there sitting with Dana ringside. Was that in Abu Dhabi? It might have been. I forgot where that was. But I remember thinking, like, man, he was trying to take off Glover's head. And it was, and he was, and I think he, and Glover's got a good chin too. And he rolled with it enough to weathered a storm and then got on top. And he has some beautiful old school basic, I'm going to pass your guard and I'm going to mount you and just fuck you up jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? And that's what he did. He mounted him and just took him out. I'm really, really excited about it. The fact that Jiří has not faced a grappler, in the UFC is a big thing for me. You know, it's just uncharted waters, man. We don't know how he's going to be in there. You know, I feel Glover's going to take it. I do. I'm not asking for your prediction.
I'm picking Glover too. I'm picking Glover. You said earlier you were watching that fight with Dana. Who are some of the best guys to watch fights with? Like, who are they? Like, if you were chilling and watching a UFC pay-per-view, whether it was there in person or like on your couch, who are your favorite guys, the best guys to watch fights with?
Me?
Yeah.
Man, I'm kind of a hermit. I watch with my brother-in-law, Edwin. He's a fighter.
Uh-huh.
And we're kind of just chill. My father-in-law, Ciro. I'm kind of chill. I went over to Longo's recently for a watch party, and his dog, Lucky, no etiquette. Brett, Longo is no discipline for it. There's no bad dog. There's bad owners. And Lucky might be cute. But when I'm eating my fucking pizza and I got that dog breath, he's on my fucking – it's like, hey, Longo, man, Lucky, get away, get out of here. Really, Longo? Longo. Dude, I'm covered in hair. Anyway, I keep it simple, man. Just a couple of my buddies. I'm usually with my brother-in-law and we just have fun. I go nuts. Whenever there's like this Saturday, like whenever there's, this one's going to be a little different because I have a dance recital, but I'll still make it home in time. You know, I get so excited when there's a UFC on because I'm at my school in the morning and I get to get a workout in. I teach, I'm sweating. And then I get time for like a little nap in the afternoon. I take naps. And then I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for my fights. And, you know, and then my kids know I'm always screaming. My neighbors probably think I'm fucking nuts. Yeah. But I love it. It's all I watch, Brett. I don't – it's my Monday night football. It's my – I don't watch anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You always been a nap guy or has this come on later in life?
I've always been a nap guy.
Yeah.
I've always been a fucking – I don't – Yeah, I have been. Yeah, I always have been. You know, it recharges me, you know.
Yeah.
And especially back in the day when I used to compete, it was almost like a necessity. I'm like, yo, because I get such a hard workout. I usually do something with Longo in the morning. And then for the longest time, then I'd be taking a nap and then going into the city at night to be at Henzo's. And so, I mean, it was one of those just recoup things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now as I get older, I just don't sleep great at night, man. Yeah, my guy got like broken rhythm with my sleeping. Yeah. I'll like sleep a little bit, get up at like 5, go to my school, you know, get my head straight, get a steam, and then teach my guys for 7 o'clock, come back, take a nap, come out here, hang out with you, whoever's doing my show with me, go back, fucking teach again at night. I'm living the dream, Brett.
Oh,
and you travel a lot, or you just do most of the shows in Vegas?
I travel quite a bit. Yeah. Like I said, if I hadn't been in Portugal, I would have been in Singapore.
It's got to be. How old is your child now?
He's almost 2. He's turning 2 July 13th. So actually the day after his birthday, I'm going to stay in Vegas for his birthday. Then I'm going to fly to Long Island
and
cover the ABC card.
When is that card again?
So that's July 16th. So I'm going to fly out July 14th. I'll be there July 16th. Then I'll fly to London because the next week is London. Then I'll come home to Vegas for 2 days. Then I'll fly to Dallas because that's where the next pay-per-view is.
This is going to be different for you now when you have a child, because it's when you can't bring your kid with you. Thank God you have this. Thank God the future. Back in when I was a kid, even when you were a kid, I don't know, right? How long did you have to have FaceTime for? They didn't have this for fucking Zoom and this and that. This is fairly new, no?
Yeah. I don't know exactly when FaceTime came out, but it didn't exist when I was in college.
So it's
post-college.
Thank God, because when you're traveling, you can still see your family and everything.
My son doesn't do FaceTime at all, though. But, you know, he's not even 2 yet, so give him a little
time. What do you mean he doesn't do it? Like, he just doesn't want to be bothered?
Yeah. Like, even when me and my wife were gone for 2 weeks, I know he missed us. But my mom would come, grandma would be like, hey, you know, mom and dad, you want to see where they are? And he's running around doing stuff. You know?
That's so cute, man. What are you going to get any? Are you planning on having a big family or no?
I can see us having one more.
One more?
I can see us having one more.
I have 3. It's my youngest birthday today. 9 years old. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We just went out to like a breakfast place. We had some food. We're going to jiu-jitsu later. She loves her jiu-jitsu.
Nice.
And we're going to have some, you know, cupcakes for her there and everything after class.
That's great.
You know, it's so funny. I've never been more involved with my kids' program than I am now because I have all my 3 kids in it. you know what I mean? I mean, I was always involved. Like, hey, you know how they do it. I'd have somebody else teach it. But as far as teaching it, I jump in there and myself and I teach it a lot now.
You're teaching jiu-jitsu, what, 6 days a week?
Yeah, I mean, what's great about my school is, like, I'm at my school probably 6 days a week, 5, 6. But as far as teaching, I have a couple of set days in the mornings. I do those 7 a.m. classes. And then I go back at night. Now I'm either teaching or training. So I'm always there, though. So I don't like at this stage to be like, all right, I'm set for these times, except for the mornings. Cause I can, you know, that unless I change the days, I usually spread them out like a Monday and a Wednesday, or Monday and a Friday. But like the night classes, whatever I feel like doing, I'm going to do the advanced tonight. I do the beginners a ton. Cause I love the fundamentals and I love to get guys hooked on it. Cause my guys blue belt higher, they're already hooked. They're with us for life. They love it. But when people are first trying it out, it's like, I want to make sure their first experience is not too overwhelming, and then they get a feel for what's going on here. A lot of people are nervous, man. They watch the fights and they think that's what this is. You know, they don't really know what jiu-jitsu is. You know,
I could totally see that.
You know, oh shit, man, Benil Darouche is ready to come on. Let's get him in here, man. We haven't talked to him in a minute. See, I talk like the kids now.
Like for a minute?
Yeah, for a minute.
How do you pull it off? You pull it off. Sounded natural.
I only pull it off until I draw attention to it.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Here, our waters are splashing and rejuvenating. Our history is for seeing and experiencing. Our theme parks are for riding and sometimes flying. And our great outdoors are yours for exploring and restoring. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Benil, you are so likable that when somebody attacks you, you don't even have to go back. All your teammates are like, how dare you talk about our good? You are, nobody does that. If somebody attacks me, I'm on my own. Maybe Dean Thomas, Ray Longo would let me go on my own, but somebody would have my back, hopefully. With you, you got Marvin, you got, who is it, RDA, all these guys.
Giga.
Yes. Oh, Giga, who's another nice. A super nice guy. That's how nice you are. That must make you feel good, no?
Bro, it's amazing. I don't go on social media. I don't go back and forth, but I was telling all my friends, find yourself somebody who will protect you like Marvin protects me on Twitter. What a guy, man. I'm like, Marvin was so fired up. He calls me and he's like, this effing guy, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, Marvin, relax, bro. It's Twitter. Like, it's just Twitter. But I mean, the weird thing is like, what the heck? Where did that come from? What did I do to that guy? Like, I don't even think I've ever mentioned his name outside of like when people ask me about him.
Well, you're winning and you're right in line to be fighting for a title. That's why he's mentioning you. You know what I mean? So in the end of the day, it's definitely a compliment in a weird way that the guy's even saying anything. But I think that he deleted it because he probably realized that, you know, shit, man, he's the wrong guy to go for. He's too likable.
You know, also, I think, like, I'll just take his the fact that he deleted it as a form of apology. But no, I was thinking about it. To be honest for you, with you, I feel for the guy because, like, man, he's been fighting the last couple of years and it hasn't been going so well. If I was in his position, man, it would be horrible because, one, the thing that makes you who you are fighting, like you got to understand, that's who he is. You could see it in the way he speaks, the way he talks, that's who he is. So it's gotta be hard for him to like not be doing well right now. On top of that, to break his leg and be out for so long. And then also you have to imagine he's surrounded by so many people that are new that he that showed up after he started after he got famous, you know? Like I got the same like 5, 7, 10 people that I've had before I was even in the UFC, you know? If I was to put myself in his shoes, he's got to be feeling like crap all the time because he doesn't know what's going on, to be honest with you. You know, but that's just life. That's it's just the choices we make, I guess.
Are you healthy now? What's going on?
Man, I got to say, I told him end of August, and I actually think I would be able to deliver like perfect because my ankle's just about good. I mean, I only notice it like once in a blue moon now. Like I had a really hard practice right now. I didn't notice it. Gotta say, man, I'm feeling good right now. The only thing I haven't done, like really hard, I've sparred a little bit, just striking, but not super hard. So, that's really all that's left, but I don't normally spar unless I have a fight. Cause, I like my brain the way it is.
Shit, man. Now, are we in limbo right now? What is happening? Are we talking about you fighting Oliveira for the title? Like, because I know there's talk about him fighting the Islam or you fighting Islam. Do you know any more than us?
No. So I messaged Ali the other day and I was like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, I don't even know. And it, you know, I think what's happening is they're trying to get Charles and Islam to go. Because, you know, our sport is a lot of what have you done for me lately? And he was the guy who fought last. So he's more... he's more on everybody's mind. So because of that, they're trying to get Islam and Charles going. But if I had to guess, because Charles keeps asking for Connor, so he's probably not accepting the fight with Charles. I mean, with Islam, if I had to guess. And that leaves me in limbo because my option was Islam. They were saying Islam in October, and I was pretty stoked on that fight. You know, I know it's his hometown or kind of his hometown, but I don't care. I don't know how long I have in this sport, you know, and there's this small part of me that's always looking to fight. Like this dog, there's a dog, you know, and he's going to die one day and I'm not going to be looking to fight everybody. But for now I got that dog. So if it's got to be in Abu Dhabi, like we'll go to Abu Dhabi. If it has to be in Brazil, I'll go to Brazil. Like if it has to be in Dagestan, we'll go into Dagestan. I just got to know where I'm going, you know, and who I'm fighting until this dog dies in me.
Now, is there anybody else besides Oliveira or Islam that would be able to, you know, interest you?
You know, Dustin Poirier, because he's ranked so high. And then Michael Chandler, because he's got a lot of hype right now. I'm not sure if there's anybody else. I know Justin's going to be out for a while. And if I fight Justin, I'd rather do it for the title. And I'm sure it won't take long. And those are the guys I'm thinking. I know there's going to be some fights and people are going to, the division's going to change a little bit. And, you know, they'll probably toss me like I think I'm a number 6 now. After these couple of weeks, they'll probably toss me at like number 15 or something, the way the rankings work. So we'll see how that goes.
I'm so interested in like seeing either you or Islam fight Oliveira. And it's because of your grappling. Even though you guys are both well-rounded, he's been in trouble, Oliveira, with Poirier. He was in trouble with Gaethje. He was and Chandler. Yeah, he was on his ass. What saved them is these guys don't want to follow him down. I feel that, like you know what I mean? Hey, listen, who is to blame them though? I mean, but you guys, you know, that's not a kryptonite for you guys. I feel 100% fighting, following him in. And I feel you will too. I mean, shit. I mean, I don't know. We're yet to see anybody. I mean, that's what's really saved him. Don't get me wrong. He's looking phenomenal. But that's really the difference. Both guys got hurt. But, you know, one guy followed him up.
It is 100%. It is like they all hurt him and they were afraid to go down to the ground with him, and which allowed him to like get his energy back and recover and get back in there. And the thing is, like, I remember I heard Henzo say this a long time ago. You punch a black belt in the face, he becomes a brown belt. You punch him again, he becomes a purple belt. And, you know, I think both Justin and Dustin, they had him hurt. Like they should have followed up. They should have tossed some elbows in. I mean, I just don't get it, man.
In fairness, their skill set on the floor is not like yours. They might just be like, they might be so instilled in their head, beat him up on the feet, then we'll take him out on the floor. But he's not so easy to beat up on the feet. How do you think Oliveira's been looking now? I mean, obviously he's been looking phenomenal, but what's your take on him?
I think he's the most offensive 155er I have ever seen. I think if we're talking in terms of dominance, like people try to compare him to Khabib, I think he's more offensive than Khabib. And so he has a higher finish rate, but he lacks in defense. I think both in striking and grappling. Like when he fought, the last fight I could think of is like Kevin Lee. Even Kevin Lee was able to hold him down when he took him down. He had him down for one round, and it didn't look like he was going to – it didn't look like he was trying to get up. He was just trying to throw a couple of submissions up. They failed. He'd move on. I think offensively, he's incredible. I think defensively, there's a lot of holes in his game, and I think that's why all these guys want to keep trying. You know, the problem is guys that try, they only look for the holes in his striking. So what he does, he masks those holes with his grappling. Okay, I'm hurt. I'm going to go take a second on the floor. And I know these guys are going to give me the second. And then he gets back up and he goes back to being offensive. It just, if you can't recognize what he's doing, you're going to get caught up in his game. And it's so easy to get caught up in that game. And think about it. You are Dustin Poirier. A lot of people say you're the best boxer in the game. You are Justin Gaethje, the most violent man in the division. When you are hurting this guy standing and then he goes to his back, in your mind, you're just getting more confident. So you're thinking, oh, we're just going to get back up and do it again. That confidence, it's a false confidence because this guy gets back up and he throws as hard as he can. The reason why Justin and Dustin are so good, because they counter and counter. But this guy falls down, gets back up and goes crazy again. And you lose the timing because you lose the timing because you're kind of not resetting, but you're kind of taking a breath in the exchanges because you dropped him. He's catching you. And I think these guys don't realize it. They just got to follow him up and just drop some elbows.
Brett, this is fucking intelligent stuff, Brett.
Yeah. No, I was letting you go because I talked to Benil not too long ago, but listening to you guys go back and forth, maybe this is something that like guys like me, like analysts and you know, we need something to talk about before fights and we need something to talk about after fights, but I'm really impressed by Charles's mindset right now. It just seems like he's a guy that is owning the room, is showing up and like carrying himself as a champion. When you're like looking as a guy, as a competitor, do you weigh that in? Like, do you think that this guy is just like mentally, he says bulletproof, like, does he come across that way to you?
I think what he's getting good at is resetting. So whether he gets knocked down, whether he goes back in his corner, he's learned like, hey, just go back to doing what I was doing 100%. If I get hit, I get hit, whatever. That's not normal. Like, that's something special. The fact that, okay, I got dropped. Let me take 30 seconds here, get back up, do exactly the same thing I was doing before. I mean, that's kind of the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, but he's finding different results. Honestly, if you look at it from the outside, not as his opponent, not as a competitor, it's incredible. You have to give him so much respect for that because it's easy to say, hey, he just resets and goes, but to do it, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of faith. And you can recognize, you could see it in him. He's hurt. He gets back up. He goes back to his corner. His corner starts yelling at him. They start yelling at him. And he starts doing this thing with his jaw where he's like, he starts, you know, and in his head, he's like, either I die or he dies. You see that in him. And I think that's something I have a lot of respect for. I no matter how you look at it, it's awesome. And I think whoever fights him, when they see him come back for the second round or they see him get back up from being dropped, they have to see that in his eyes and they have to do the exact same thing. They have to say, hey, he's coming in fresh. I'm going in 100% too. There's no goofing off. There's no messing around. There's no relaxing like, oh, I'm going to get this guy. This guy is about to come at me maybe twice as hard as he did 30 seconds ago. So respect to Charles in that regard. But you know, the thing that annoys me about Charles is he's trying to fight Conor. That's the thing that annoys me.
Oh, he sees that fucking paycheck. But it is interesting though with him when you talk about that mindset, because when he gets back up to, you know, to hurt somebody, you have to be there to get hurt also. So he knows that, and after he's already been hurt, he marches right back in after he gets his wits back. So that's very brave. So it's very interesting when you've seen Justin Gaethje referring, because something switched in his mind. Because when Justin was going, once a coward, always a coward. He goes, I don't want to say that. But he did say it. He goes, you know, that mentality, because he quit in the past. Something changed in him where he had the same skill set back then. Maybe it's improved some, but pretty much the same. Something changed mentally. I wonder if he had a mental coach or what changed in his mind.
Might have just been maturation too, man. He was very, very young. He was very young when he started in the UFC. I think he was like 20 years old when he started in the UFC, you know? So it might just be experience and maturity.
There's two things that happen when you get broken. You either build back up or you become like rubble, you know? And he built back up. He built back up every single time. And now we're seeing the best version we've ever seen. I think that's what it is.
Daniil, I want to say at one point, like, weren't your coaches and even maybe your wife telling you, like, hey, we know that you like to fight, but we're done taking fights that don't make sense? Are you still there? Or, like, is there a possibility that this thing drags out and you take a fight that kind of doesn't make sense? You fight down the rankings. Are we done with it?
Man, I think so. Man, I don't want to sit here for like another 6 months and not do anything. And I also don't want to be a hypocrite. My whole career, I fought guys behind me. Like, I was ranked, whatever, I fought this guy. I think the first time was like James Vick. I was ranked number 10 and he wasn't even ranked. I fought him. And then I got into the rankings and I kept fighting guys out of the ranking and whatever. I don't really want to change that. And the thing is, I feel the guys that are outside of the top five are some of the best in the world. I think they're the next generation. And I'm really looking forward to this next generation. Guys like Armand, guys like Gamrot, Rafael Fiziev?
Fiziev.
He's really good, but like, I don't know if he's going to get past Hoffa. I honestly don't think so. I think he's more of an old generation where he specializes in one thing. All these other guys I mentioned, they're incredible at everything. And there's guys in our division that we don't even know about yet. And you guys will know in the future. There's a lot of talent out there. And in the next couple of years, it's going to look amazing. And I don't want to miss my chance to fight these guys. Like, that's the other thing. Who knows when I'll get the belt, but like, what if I get the belt and I only fought the old dogs? That'd be lame. I gotta get my hands on these new dogs, on these guys nobody's fought yet and nobody knows about. That's important to me too. So, man, Ali's going to be so pissed right now if he hears about this. But but yeah, we'll see, man. I Islam, I really want to fight. Charles, I really want to fight. They're the cream of the crop right now. And there's guys that are following them that are also incredibly good. So I don't want to get stuck. That's the thing.
Well, look, but hey, dude, you're doing phenomenal. And you're so young. You're only 33 years old. Do you ever give any thought on when's your last one? Like how old you're going to be at this number? I'm done. Or no, you're just kind of,
you know, that's something I actually prayed a lot about. And I remember having a dream. It was a weird dream, but, I remember I was trying to walk into the octagon and like this feeling that I had that just whenever I walk into that octagon, it's, man, getting inside that octagon is scary. But once they say go, it is the best 15 minutes I can have. Like the savage, the brokenness in me gets to go free and I get to be selfish for those 15 minutes. And in my dream, I just didn't have it. I walked into that cage and I had zero of it. And that's what I mean. There's going to come a day where the dog in me is just going to die. And when that dog dies, I'm going to move on.
Well, hopefully when that dog dies, you'll have enough dog in you to still do like grappling matches or something. Cause I really love your jujitsu, you know?
Yeah.
You might have to try some demons.
I'm trying to have 10 kids, you know? So 10 kids is going to be a little tricky to have 10 kids and do grappling matches. So we'll see.
Is that your number with kids?
Yeah, that's my number with kids. My wife is looking at me like I'm going to kill you.
Oh, I'm not letting my wife hear that. I have three, and I kind of cut it at three. And my wife was like, I said I wanted a big family. Like, well, we're a family of five.
Yeah. I told her, listen, you give me four, and we'll find the other six. And I know everybody always goes to the wrong place. Like, they think, oh, this guy, what a creep. I'm talking about adoption, obviously, but that's what I told her. I expect maximum four from you or minimum four from you, and then we'll find the rest. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, when I'm done fighting, it's going to be – the focus will be I want to be a missionary, and I just really want to focus on my kids.
Now, tell me, what – did you always want a large family or
– to be honest, at first, I didn't want a family at all when I was first fighting. God always has to break a man in order to make a man of God, you know? So – just little by little, I was broken and rebuilt, and God built me better. So I understood that, you know, you can build whatever kingdom you want. You can have the belt, you can have money, you can have it all. But like, you start getting older, family starts looking a lot better. It starts. And I think that's something in our culture that's we're kind of losing. You know, people are getting to their 30s, they're getting to their 40s, and they don't have kids, and they look around and they're like, man, what did I do with my life? And I know I'm not going to have that, because I'm going to see my kids and I'm going to say, man, why didn't I have these kids earlier? I mean, I sometimes have that, but I'm still able to have more kids. So I'm not worried about it, but like, I will never regret having more kids, but it's possible I'll regret having not enough kids. You know what I mean? And I've seen it a lot in people. They chase their career. They chase this, they chase that. And then at the end of their life, they were like, was this really worth it? So I'm not going to have that question at the end of my life.
That's a beautiful thing. No wonder why Marvin Vettori got so upset. I get upset too. Nobody better talk. I'll tell you, I'll be up in arms too. Hey, listen. Hey, Bernil, man, thanks for hanging out with us, dude. We miss you, man. You're a breath of fresh air. Hey, Bernil, thank you so much, man. Thanks for hanging out.
My pleasure.
We hope to see you soon, bro.
Thank you. Me too. I hope so too. One last thing about Marvin. If he keeps hanging out with me, he might have a kid too soon. So we'll see.
That's interesting.
I keep showing him like, here, hold my daughter. He's like, oh, and eventually you'll see. I'll get this guy.
Uncle Marvin.
That needs it.
He's doing a good job.
He's such an angry guy, you know, at certain times that he needs like that kind of baby to calm him down.
He's actually angry when he holds my daughter, and my daughter loves it. Like, he's like yelling at people and whatever, and my daughter's just laughing. So, you know, maybe angry Marvin's not the worst.
It's a great guy to have your back. Hey, man. Bernil, thanks so much, man.
Good to see you in the gym, Bernil. Good to see you working out.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Good to see you too.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Scramble through our world-class golf courses or shop your way through the square. Be one with nature as you hike or bike through our parks and trails, or hunker down at one of our breweries. And when it's time to eat, be sure to bite into our eclectic food scene. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What a nice guy.
Nice guy. And I don't know if he was always like this and we didn't pay attention, or if this is something that's kind of came around, but he's a great interview, man. Isn't he fun to talk to? Like, some of these guys, like, you love them, they're great guys, but you're just like, the interviews are just, they don't, guy's insightful. He's smart.
Wow. I like the way he was breaking down. Now I want to see that fight even more. Cause the one thing about not only him, but also Islam, is that they're both going to follow Charles down. And, dude, some of my favorite fights take place on the floor as far as technically. Fights that most guys point to a fight like, oh, that's fight of the year, this one. I like fights like, I like Ben Askren versus Damian Maya. Mm-hmm. I like Damian Maya versus Jake Shields. I like extreme skill down there. Like, just, ooh, things happen. And I'm like, oh, omoplata reversal. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
that Damian Maya versus Ben Askren was that was like an old school jujitsu versus wrestling.
Yeah.
And then, like, out of a movie, like, Ben got to use some of his wrestling, a big slam where he's, and then the jujitsu used by Maya with the reversals, with the leg lock reversals to the Uma. It was a dream.
You don't see fights like that as much anymore, but Damian Maya, especially, like, obviously, like, in the prime of his career, he was so entertaining to watch. But at the end, like, when he was starting to even lose some of his athleticism, but he was still finding ways to get those guys down. I mean, that was just like, what you knew, like, the level of what you were watching, man. It was enjoyable.
listen, that he's a legend. He is a legend. I hope he does some grappling matches now. That I don't know if he's retired from MMA.
He said recently that he might not be, and that maybe he would like to come back to the UFC for one more fight. I don't know. I think he kind of already said he was retired. And then you start talking about like USADA pool and this and that. I'm not so sure what the deal is there, but I would watch him fight again.
Me too. I sure will. I sure would. Listen, did we talk? So we talked a little bit about the main event. We talked about the three. We talked about Joanna, Valentina. Okay, the first two on the main card. Let's just talk about that really quick. Are you familiar with these gentlemen? Go ahead, read one. Whoever you want to start with.
Jack Della Maddalena.
Yes.
You know those guys, like everybody talks about their guys.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, oh, you know, of course. Like, yes, we got this guy in the gym, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that. But then, you know, there are certain guys where like it's like you've been in the sport long enough that you can tell when it's like, oh yeah, you know, we're just talking up our guys in the gym. And then you can tell when like people are really excited about this guy.
Yes.
Jack Della Maddalena. Now, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but that's okay, because you don't say any names right. So I'm safe either way. A lot of guys are excited about Jack Della. We'll just call him Jack Della. And the guy he's fighting is Ramazan Amiev.
Yes.
He's not an easy fight, man. I mean, you know how those guys are from Russia. They're well-rounded. Oh. He's big. Not an easy guy to look good on. So the UFC is not really doing Maddalena like, any easy favors here, but I've been told to really, really keep an eye on this guy. You know, he's special.
What, and what camp is he coming out of, Jack, though?
So he is from Australia. Okay. I don't know if City Kickboxing. I don't think
it's
he is.
It's so funny. It's like anybody from Australia, like, is that City Kickboxing? Because they have too many guys. They have like a
yeah, I don't think he is. I don't think he is. He might be with Volk's team, with like Joe Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm blanking on his team, but he's from Perth, Australia. And I hear he's really good, man. 25. He won his UFC debut with a counter left hook knockout 3 minutes in.
First round. And even though Ramazan is coming off a loss, it was a decision loss, you know? And then before that, he had a win. So, and that was a split decision loss.
And the guy's got 25 fights, you know? I mean, how often do you see like Jack is 25? It's only his second fight in the UFC, taking on a guy with 25 fights. Like that, sometimes that experience is worth it a ton. So I'm looking forward to that fight just because of how much I've heard about Jack. And then Manel Kopp and Rogerio Bontorin is just a great fight. Kopp is like finally showing, he kind of like scuffled a little bit early in his UFC career, you know, where it wasn't getting going. And now you're seeing the results to match like the potential that this dude has. That'll be a good fight.
There's a couple of he's coming off a couple of knockouts here. Manuel, he knocked out Zumagulov.
Zalgas Zhumagulov. Yeah,
Zhumagulov. Oh, that was close.
Yeah,
and he took out Osborne too.
Ode Osborne. Yeah,
that's a very hey. Listen, man. Oh, and Brendan Allen as the main in the prelims.
Mm-hmm.
I like that fighting. Who's that? Jacob Malcolm. Dude, listen, I'm looking forward to the fights, Brett.
Yeah, it's a solid card. I mean, it's not one of those ones like, you know, some of those cards are blockbusters. Like, I would not call this one a blockbuster.
Yeah.
But this is just a solid up and down card. I really do like the main card is solid.
I can't wait to see Joanna back in action. If that fights anyone like the first one versus Wei Li, we're in for something special. Hopefully there's no balloon head action. I hate to see it like that. That was hard to watch. But what a fight. Mm-hmm. And the main event, man, I mean, you don't want to label old school versus new school, but I don't think he'd be offended if you do say old school.
I think you can in this era.
Teixeira, I just can't say enough about the guy. As a human being, he's such a – dude, he's a fucking – as humble, laid back as you come, dude.
Humble, nice dude.
He's at the amateur – I run into him at the amateur events.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he'll just somebody come up behind me and put me in a choke. And he's got like a cap on. He's in shorts. I'm like, yo, you're the champ is here. Anybody realize the champ is here? He's such a great guy. You know how one door shuts and another one opens? You see what I have here? This little espresso cup? That's an espresso cup. Okay. I had, when I was in Florida with my family, we were in like these little, what are the docks, the Greek docks? What do they call those? The water docks? I don't know what you call them. but it's the little Greek area, and there's these little stores. And I seen this little, and I had it up until recently, and it started giving way, and it started chipping off, so I couldn't drink out of it anymore. But I seen this coffee cup of an old school Star Wars with all the bounty hunters, with Boba Fett and the fucking other guy with the fucking thing wrapped around. And it was so cool. And I seen it up in the thing. Oh, sir, get me that. And I would be drinking it during the podcast. But yeah, then it started like chipping off in my mouth. And I'm like, oh, I must have been from this fucking 70s. So I retired it and I left it at my school. So then sure enough, right, this guy was a fan of the show. He listens to Unfiltered. Nice guy. His name is Guy, Italian guy. He's from New Jersey. The show got him through a hard time. He's got this an espresso machine that'll change my life. And he made it because he's from Naples and he wanted to taste like homemade, and he can't espresso, and he can't get it from the Nespresso machine. You know, I think he's full of shit. I don't know who the guy is. He shows up at my school the other day. He brought me this machine, Brett. The fucking thing is delicious. Mm-hmm. I took my Nespresso machine. I threw it on the floor. I got that in my living room now, in my kitchen. And then he brought these cute, just when I lost my nice antique Boba Fett, he brought these little espresso cups for me.
Wow. Really well done, too. Are those self-made? Did he make those, or he just found them and bought them? Yeah.
He's a store-bought because he knows he's dealing with a man-child. But he listens to the show. But I'll tell you, you know, I lost the other, and I got this little cute thing. Listen, maybe we'll get this cut out of the show. No, I'm only okay. Brett, what do you want to promote, bro? Anything you want to plug? Come on, man. Are you what podcast you're doing? Any shows you're doing?
Yeah, well, I do a weekly gambling show.
Where can we listen to this?
That's on YouTube. We go up and down every fight on the UFC cards. Ian Parker is on there with me. He knows his stuff, man. He's been hitting a lot of bets. So we do like best bets, parlays.
We pick on every single one. You know, Parker used to train out in Long Island.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been around the sport for a long time, man. Yeah, he actually used to sponsor some guys a long time ago.
100%.
So yeah, I do that. And then I've got some stuff coming out. Like I got a written story on Ioana and Wei Li. Like I talked to a lot of people that were around the fight, getting like their memories of it. So it's almost like kind of reliving the fight through all of their eyes, you know, like Mike Brown, Ioana, Wei Li, DC's in there.
And that's a podcast?
John Anik's in there. It's a written story. It'll be on ESPN.com. Yeah.
When is that coming out?
That comes out Friday. Comes out Friday, the day before the fight.
Oh shit, man. Well, listen, dude, congrats. And thanks for stepping in, bro. I really appreciate you coming on.
Of course, man. Enjoy your daughter's birthday, man. That's very cool.
We're gonna have a great time, man. We're gonna have a great time. We're doing some jiu-jitsu later, you know, and then maybe whatever dinner that she wants. I think she wants tacos. And the fight's UFC 275 this weekend. Teixeira versus Prochazka. How did I do that with Prochazka? Did I pronounce that okay?
I think you nailed it, actually.
Yeah, get it okay. Brett Okamoto, thank you so much, brother.
Awesome, man. I enjoyed it.
All right, man. Take care. Take care, everyone.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.